risen, singing out with joyful voice, He is risen, Christ is risen, let the whole wide earth rejoice, death is conquered, we are free, Christ the reigns triumphantly.
He is risen, just as he said. Good morning and welcome to you all to Bethel Baptist Church on this Resurrection Sunday when we celebrate the resurrection of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin, which is detachable here, and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Will you please refer to your bulletin for the activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. Please note in your bulletin that all activities normally scheduled for Sunday afternoon are canceled. Also, we want you to look forward to next June, we will be broadcasting on the internet live at the 3:30 afternoon Sunday afternoon Bible class, and you'll get more information on this, where we now have a mobile system of broadcasting on the internet, and so this is one of the places from which we will broadcast live at that class. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from John chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns of the hymn this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 137, Christ the Lord is risen today.
let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our great God, we give thanks for the hope we have in Jesus, who died but is raised and rules over all. We praise you for his presence with us. Because he lives, we look for eternal life, knowing that nothing past, present, or yet to come can separate us from your great love made known to us by Christ our Lord. Through the rising of Jesus Christ from the dead, you have given us mighty hope. Keep us joyful in all our trials. O God, guard our faith so that we may receive the wonderful inheritance of eternal life which you have prepared for us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, glory to you for the gift of his life. Father, glory to you for his loving death. And glory to you for Jesus Christ, the master of us all. In his precious name we pray. Amen. The men may come forward for the offering. And may God bless the offering and bless the giver.
With a shout of Hosanna, he enters the gates, young and old singing his praises. In his path their garments and branches are laid. He is the King of the ages, majestic procession beyond all compare, exalted and lifted on high. The praises of earth lift and ring in the air, and heaven cried out in reply, Hosanna, Hosanna. For blessed is he who comes, Hosanna, sing Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord. Our Redeemer and Savior, our guide and our friend, prophets of old did proclaim it.
Creator, sustainer, beginning and end, the King of our hearts and our spirits.
That shines from above, presented for all now to see. The true King of glory in heavenly love among us. comes in the name of the Lord. Sing Hosanna, Hosanna, for blessed is he who comes. Hosanna, sing Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord. Sing Hosanna, Hosanna, we sing. The excitement was electric. The crowd surrounded him, spreading their robes before him, waving palm branches. Blessed is the King. And yet their praise would soon turn to mocking and hatred. Jesus knew his mission. He knew his purpose. The events of that Holy Week changed the course of history. Political power and the fear of losing that power, coupled with the betrayal of Jesus suffered from some of his closest and trusted friends, soon led to the arrest of Jesus by the Roman government. Charged with treason, Jesus was led to Calvary for a cruel and lonely death on a cross.
Sacrifice. Oh, The sun stopped shining. The sky grew black. My God, why have you forsaken me? And there on that cross, he died. He died a cruel death, the lamb slain before the foundation of time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can we respond to this suffering? How can we begin to fathom the pain he felt? There is no greater love than this love. Hallelujah. What a Savior.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb that morning. And there was thunder and a great earthquake. And the stone was rolled back, and an angel of the Lord sat on it. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not risen. He has risen. He is not here. He has risen. Go quickly and tell the good news. Tell the disciples he is risen. So they left the tomb quickly, fearful, but with great, great joy.
King of my life, I crown you now. Yours shall the glory be.
Lest I forget your brown,
lead me to Calvary.
Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget your agony, lest I forget your love for me, lead me to Calvary.
away as the light of dawn was breaking through the early morning clouds. We were so excited, so hopeful that our Lord could be alive. I had found John and Peter and they had run back to the tomb. It almost seemed like a dream. We should start at the beginning of the story and tell you about that entire miraculous morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth.
We believe to fall. trusting the Lord, and He is our Redeemer and friend. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. Worthy is the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, and the Root of David. Praise to our Father, who takes away the sins of the world. He is risen, and our lives can never be the same. Thank you, Father, for the strength and peace you bring to our lives each and every day. We worship you for your life, death, and resurrection. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are the Lamb of peace and the Lord of glory.
Lord of glory, worthy of praise, risen victorious, we worship you. Savior, sustainer, redeemer, and friend, we come to exalt you, our praises begin. Christ is risen, and death is defeated. Risen, his work is completed. Risen, we praise him forever, for he is the Lord of glory. Triumph, each heart filled with joy. Victors are we in the battle.
Led by spirits and guided by truth,
our hearts are uplifted, our spirits renewed. Christ is risen, and death is defeated. Risen, his work is completed. Risen, we praise him forever, for he is the Lord of glory.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Acts of the Apostles. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 638. We will be reading Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Would you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come to get together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, We thank you for revealing to us in your written word the great works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are grateful to know that these great works affect each one of us who believe personally and to our benefit. We celebrate the Lord's resurrection with great joy, knowing that Jesus has accomplished all that is needed for our salvation while we were helpless to save ourselves. We pray, O Lord, for our people, for strength to be obedient to all that is commanded, because we love you, Lord. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he brings the great news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would bless him in bringing all that you would want us to hear, that we may have greater understanding of this great work. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and especially for those who do not know you, that they also would believe the gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And just an advice to the control room, I'm going to move the pulpit microphone, and I want to avoid those who listen to get a noise. Those who are listening, and all over Central America and Panama, Costa Rica, and all the areas that they call me, they are connecting with us on the internet, and we thank the Lord for that beautiful opportunity to share the gospel. If you have your Bible, please turn your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Here is the book of history of the Bible, a book, thank you, my brother, a book written to refer to the first 33 years of the history of Christianity, written by God, so you had no mistaken whatsoever in interpreting and in reading the history of God as he developed Christianity. Dr. Luke was an MD, and he writes these and the gospel to his professor in Alexandria, Theophilus, who was also an MD. And he writes to him to clarify facts from life according to a chronological, scientific way of living. What caught my attention was verse 3 in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. He referred to Jesus after the resurrection, of course, and this is the year maybe 41 to 48 when he writes, and he said these words in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof. You got those words, in your mind? Many infallible proof. I love to read the Bible in about the seven languages that I know. In the Arab Bible, writes here, said, in many undoubtful proof, you cannot doubt about it. That's very surprising. Very effective, the translation. The original in which was written suggests that many infallible proof. And then as you read the New Testament to find those many infallible proofs, you can divide them in three categories. You can have the proof from a scientific point of view. The engineer, the physicist will look for those proof. And that is the empty tomb. The empty tomb sealed by the elites of the Roman soldiers, stamped and forever determined that nothing will open that stone. And the Bible talks about it. And we'll take about half of 40 minutes to go through the Bible, through that demonstration of the empty tomb, the scientific proof. Then the Bible talks about the legal proof of his resurrection. When you are in court, and many of you perhaps have to go to court for one reason or another, you know that you are ahead if you have a good witness, if you have a first sight witness. And the Bible, in 10 instances, bring the eyes witnesses of Jesus alive. In one section of the scripture, in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says that more than 500 people were alive who saw Jesus. And out of those people, some of those people were still alive and can testify in court if the Jewish people want to. And so we have the scientific proof and the legal proof. What I want to talk to you in the few minutes we have this morning is about the medical proof. From a medical point of view, and it's amazing how remarkable this is to understand the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There were 12 apostles who changed their life after the resurrection. Something happened in their makeup. Something happened in their psychological thinking. Something happened in their intellectual mind. They changed entirely their life. And so I'm going to look for some examples and share with you the infallible proof as we look into the life of these people who were sometime weak, sometime indifferent, sometime belligerent against Jesus. And now, because of their understanding of the resurrection, their life has changed around. All right? I will ask you to look into the Bible for some of this. Of course, the first candidate to have a medical examination is Peter, the one that you find for 10 chapters in the book of Acts, active and moving. Peter, the one. Please, look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and verse 55, page 618, if you are using the Bible that is in the pew. Page 618, the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 22, verse 55. This is Peter, before the resurrection. I'm going to have an examination before the resurrection, how the man think, and then an examination after the resurrection, and see how the man act and think. And what happened to him? Peter. Luke chapter 22 and verse 55. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. This is the moment of a court hearing of Jesus. Verse 56. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." Verse 57. But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." Now, here's a man who the Roman Catholic Church claimed to be the Pope, the centerpiece of the Roman Empire, as he preached. Here is the man before the crucifixion. Before the crucifixion, when he was on the spot and they asked him for witnessing, "Do you know him?" He said, "Forget it. There is nothing that I know about him." Isn't that amazing? Here is a man that for 10 chapters in the book of Acts is willing to be killed for Jesus. He started by saying, "I had nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him." Amazing. You know, time have no change. 2,000 years later, I was passing some invitations to listen to our choir and to our service in the coffee shop. And one man said, "Is this about Jesus?" "Yes." He said, "Oh, I hear you later," he said. And he threw away the car. I said, "Please, will you pick up the car and throw away in your home? So you have a law of courtesy for me." And you know, it's just amazing. 2,000 years later, people are still denying him. And Peter, the man who spent 3.5 years, the man who said to Jesus one time, you know, my mother-in-law is sick. No, don't worry. He go to his home. He healed his mother-in-law, solved his problem. He saw the power of Jesus alive, eye to eye. He said, I had nothing to do with Jesus. Now let's take Jesus after the resurrection. Let's do a medical examination after the resurrection. Please go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 29, page 640. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. We're going to read to verse 36, page 640. The resurrection took place. He's now at the Passover. There are people from 11 nations around him. Jerusalem, according to historians, is about 280,000 people gathering together, and he says, speaking. Look at what he says, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us until this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ, Christ is Messiah, to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, the Messiah, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God hath raised up, of which we are all witness. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out these which you now see and hear. That means the spectacular, marvelous way that Peter was talking in Hebrew, and 11 nations were listening without translators. He said, this what happened, he said, is a miracle because of the resurrection. Verse 34. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he say himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Messiah. Whoa. Is that a change? Is that a change? Is that a change? Who made that change? How can this man, in such a short term, 40 days, from the death to this moment, how this man changed his mind and confronted his own national people, and he's telling the Messiah has come, and now he's at the right hand of the Father. Let's take another man. This is an intellectual, a philosopher. Has 2 PhDs. His name is Paul. And he was today, he has 2 PhDs. He was an enemy of Christ. You are in Acts chapter 2. Move your Bible to Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to give you the final moments when he is hearing, listening careful, and making a judgment about a great man, a great preacher by the name of Stephen, a deacon of the Church of Jerusalem. And when that man was stoned to death because he believed that Jesus was the Messiah, Paul was there. Listen to the words as the testimony of history brings the life of Paul before he had an encounter with Christ. Acts chapter 8, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth when they hear that Stephen has said Jesus is the Messiah. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus is standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. Then they cry out with a loud voice, stop their ears and run at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. That's the name of Paul before he became Paul. Saul was watching. The Bible tells us in another passage that he has some letters, some authority to get those Christians in jail. And he's going to go to Syria. Now you look to the newspaper today and you listen in the radio and you watch the television and you can't believe this, but Syria was the strongest country in Christianity. Syria was the heart of Christianity. As we learned in Sunday school with my genius class, we learned that the Syria was the hub of Christianity. You can't believe this, but that's how it was 2,000 years ago. And there Paul said, I'm going to finish with these people. And between going to Syria and on the road, Stephen is being stoned to death, sentenced to death for believing in Christ. And he is there. And when the clothes of Stephen get into his feet, he doesn't say a word. He's so happy against Christ. This is Paul before he met Jesus. Now I'm going to give you two instances of Paul after he met Jesus. The first one is in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 21. So after Ephesians, Philippians, Acts, and then you move to Romans and 1 Corinthians and then Galatians, and then you get Ephesians and then Philippians. In chapter 1 verse 21, he's telling the church of Philippi these words. In chapter 1 verse 21. This is what he says. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Here is a man who was, he said, it's okay. We killed this man because he believed in Christ. It's okay. I'm so glad. And now he himself is in the middle, and he said, either you kill me, it's okay. Because to me, to live is Christ. Well, back to the book of Acts where you were before, the chapter 21. And let me read verse 13. Paul spent time in Athens and then moved to Ephesus and one missionary trip. And then he said to the people, I have to go back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in convulsion. They were against Christianity. He said, I have to go to Jerusalem. And the people started crying. He's pastor. 3 years he spent as a pastor of the church of Ephesus. He said, I have to go to Jerusalem. And so we got to chapter 21 when he is leaving. And verse 13 said, then Paul answered, what means ye to weep and to break my heart? People were crying because he was leaving. What do you mean by this? He said. For I am ready not to be bound only, not to go to jail for Christ, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of my Lord. Is that a change? One time he said, yes, wow, we kill him, one less. And in the other step he says, oh boy, don't cry, people. I know stuff. Don't cry. I'm willing to die for the name of Jesus. Let's take one more as the time allows me. And this one is easy. It's Thomas. Everybody knows about Thomas. Turn your Bible to John chapter 20 verse 19. The Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John. You are in Acts. One book behind is the book of John chapter 20 verse 19. Thomas. You know Thomas is a man of doubt, they said, and he has doubts. And let's see what changed him, all right? Thomas, chapter 20, verse 19, talks about before he met Jesus, resurrected. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and he stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know those people who say, unless I see it, I will not believe. You know what that tells me? A lot of things tells me. Psychologically tells you that Christianity is not a mass production. It's an individual production. You have to meet Christ one at a time. I cannot make you, all of you, Christian at once. You have to come one by one to Christ. And here are the 12 disciples. Here are these people who were there. And they spend the life with Jesus. And then they said, Thomas, great news. Jesus is alive. fellas, you must be dreaming. What did you eat last night? Enchiladas? What happened? You're crazy. It's like what people tell me today. You're crazy. You believe you're a professional and you believe you're a science man and you believe in the resurrection? You're crazy. Yeah, that's no news. 2,000 years ago, they say it. Now, chapter 20, please. And John, move your eyes to verse 28. Jesus come again into the place. And Jesus said, Thomas, here is me. Now Thomas and Jesus have a one-to-one meeting. And look verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Is that the change? Before the resurrection, they said, Jesus resurrected. He heard Jesus saying, John 14, Jesus spent the whole chapter telling about a place in heaven. Don't be afraid, blah, blah, blah. Jesus lectured all of them, and they listened. But they never got it, you know. They never clicked into their mind. But now he saw Jesus resurrected, and the whole thing changed. And he surrendered. And he said, my Lord and my God. The medical proof that Jesus is alive. He changed the life of thousands and millions of people through history. But that's the change that no man can make. That's the change that no science can produce. That is the change that no scientific genius can accomplish. Only God can penetrate in your heart and in my heart and change our mind. I want to show you the easy way to have an encounter with Jesus. I mean the easy way. How can I have an encounter with the resurrected Christ? You know, the Bible that you hold in your hand had two parts. One is called the Old Testament, or in Hebrew is called the Old Covenant, the covenant of God with his people. And then they have a second part, is called the New Covenant, the covenant of God with his people through different means. The Old Covenant was done through a lamb, a physical lamb. The New Covenant is done through a lamb, a life lamb, Jesus. That's how you understand the Bible. And so in the Old Testament, they were looking for that Messiah. They were looking for that leader that will make clear the independence of the Jewish people from the Roman Empire. And they missed the boat. Like in America, they're looking for a great economic boom. No, that's not the problem of America. That's not. How can I have an encounter with the resurrection Jesus? That was my question. All right, I want it. I want to have what Thomas have. I want to have what Paul have. I want to have what Peter have. How can I have an encounter with the resurrected Jesus? Where can I meet him? All right. Go in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. All right. You have Acts and then John. Move to the back a little bit. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. There are two disciples, said the Bible, two people who were religious people, but have no encounter with Jesus yet, the resurrected Jesus. A lot of people have encounter with Jesus as a religious person, as a teacher, as a master, but never, people need to have an encounter with the resurrected Christ. And these two people were really down. And Jesus met them. Verse 44, Luke 24, verse 44. Look at what he says to them. These are the words which I have spoken unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. You know what the Hebrew called the law of Moses? The first five books of the Bible. The things that were written in the first five books of the Bible and in the prophets, that you have 24, and in the Psalms, the Hebrew Bible, the Psalms calls everything else that was there. These are the things that happened at Jerusalem. The resurrection, my resurrection, happened because it is written. You want to know about it? You want to meet me? It's right there in the scripture. Right there. And I thought to myself, if I want to meet Jesus, I have to meet him in the scripture. But then my question is, how can I believe? I'm a man of science. I know too much. How can I believe these scriptures that were written about 4,000 years ago? How can I believe this? Well, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 10. If you're in Acts, the next book is Romans chapter 10. And if you're a lawyer, it's good for you to read Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. How can I have faith? So faith cometh, Romans 10, 17. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. My friend, Christianity believes. Doesn't matter what denomination is the label of the church. Doesn't matter. Christianity believes that Jesus rose again. So that you can have a meeting with him. And you can repent of the idea that he was just dead. And take him as your substitute in the day of judgment. This humanity, the last century humanity, and all the centuries that were before, going to have a day of judgment. And the centuries that will be ahead of us will have a day of judgment. And the only lawyer that win the case already is Jesus. He's the only lawyer. He is accepted in court. He's the only lawyer licensed for heaven. If you take him, you pass. If you don't take him, you're going to be judged. And if I have to be judged by myself, forget it. I'm a dead man. Thank God that I have an encounter with Jesus. Thank God that in his mercy, he changed my mind. That he made things perfect for me, certainly inside. Outside is how the struggles all of you have. But inside, I'm at peace with God. Are you at peace with God? Have you an encounter with Jesus? I don't mean the religious Jesus. I mean the resurrected Christ. The one that penetrates your heart and brings you up into life to understand that he is a rewarder of those who really believe in him. I know it's difficult. Actually, I will say this. I know it's impossible. Jesus said, with man is impossible, but no for God. If you have a son or a daughter, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, who believe not, it's not impossible for God to encounter them like Thomas and show themselves to them. There is hope in Christ. It is my hope that in this wonderful day of resurrection, you start thinking, what Christ I met, the historical Christ or the resurrected Christ? If you met the resurrected Christ, you will believe. And as we call, be saved from that day of judgment, standing in the presence of God. Thank you, Father, that you separate a day in history where you bring to us the resurrection of the Lord Jesus to our attention. This day is marked by a scientific point of the moon and the passing of the parallel of Jerusalem called the Passover. And we celebrate it, not just a lamb, but a life. And thank you, Lord, that you touch our life in such a way that now we believe. I pray, Lord, that many others will believe. I'm not a privileged man. I'm just a man from South America. And there are people here from different parts of the world. But you are a universal Savior. You are not a respecter of language. You are not a respecter of a race. You love people because they are people. And Father, I love people too. Thank you for saving my soul. Oh, Father, I pray that today some people will look upon you as Thomas did and call Lord, and my God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Beyond all measure, thy
Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Our Heavenly Father, we pray that this special day in which we celebrate the resurrection of Christ will be special in all our hearts. And that someone, perhaps not knowing what the resurrection means, will read in the scripture the truth of God's word. Lord, these are your people. Bless them, protect them, guide them, give them peace from above. Show your mercy and your grace upon us. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.